You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Close your eyes for a moment and listen. Now, imagine a small ensemble performing that merry foxtrot, an ensemble of musicians who are prisoners wearing gray-striped uniforms, performing for their Nazi captors at the Auschwitz concentration camp. That arrangement you're hearing was done by the prisoners and then discovered decades later by University of Michigan music theory professor Patricia Hall. And because of her efforts, this arrangement is being heard for the first time in more than 75 years. It's a pleasure, Patricia Hall, to welcome you to Stateside.
Thank you. It's a pleasure as well.
I have to tell you, I listen to that foxtrot, and every time I hear it, I cry. I think of prisoners who arranged this music, performed this music, happy music, in a place where some 1.1 million people were murdered by the Nazis.
And I have to confess, after all this time, I have a similar reaction to it. It's filled with so much joy, so much euphoria, and then you think about that setting and that those prisoners were somehow able to be musicians and express that music.
Tell us how you uncovered this arrangements and what led you to the Auschwitz-Birkenau Museum and in the archives.
So it's a little bit, I think, like investigative reporting where you hear something from someone. So I was given a tip from someone who worked in the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial Museum, and they told me they thought there might be manuscripts there, or perhaps there was just pencil annotations on some printed music. So that encouraged me enough, and I was certainly curious, that I decided to visit the archive and take a look for myself.
To be a scholar.
Exactly.
Yes, to apply your training as a scholar.
Yes.
And so how long until you found something, and what did you find?
Well, I was very lucky because, as those of us who work in archives know, you can look for a very, very long time through lots and lots of materials and find nothing. And it's a unique situation in Auschwitz-Birkenau in that I was told by one of the directors there that only 5% of the documents from the camp have survived. So I was handed stacks of cards to look through, and almost immediately I was seeing titles like Love Letters That Never Arrived, or Sing a Song When You're Sad, or the title of the foxtrot that we performed at U of M, The Most Beautiful Time of Life. And anybody working in an archive is certainly used to coming across very personal documents. It could be medical records. It could be illicit love letters. You name it, we've seen it. But I just had to stop what I was doing. I was just so emotionally affected by this. And so I just stopped for a minute. And at that point, as soon as I saw that title, The Most Beautiful Time of Life, I decided, okay, I've got to investigate this piece of music.
And you ultimately find an arrangement, and this, The Most Beautiful Time of Life, is what we heard at the beginning of our conversation. And so these were not original compositions, right? But the arrangers must have had some very severe constraints.
Absolutely. So they were arranging music, very often popular songs. So The Most Beautiful Time of Life, Die Schönste Zeit des Lebens, for instance, was composed in 1941, and it was by this very popular film composer. So they chose that piece, but they had to arrange it for their ensemble. And one of the first things that also struck me when I actually got to see the manuscript was the extremely unusual instrumentation. And so this piece—
Because that was what he had to work with.
That's it,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So they, in addition to a full-size symphony orchestra, that played in Auschwitz I and played Sunday concerts in front of the Hus Villa, in front of the Commandant's Villa, they had a small jazz band of about 20 members. And so, you know, you're talking about, for this ensemble, it's 9 violins, 2 clarinets, a trombone, and a tuba. And so I must say, as taken as I was by this piece, I worried what it might sound like with that combination of instruments.
And now, as we've heard it, it's glorious.
It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And these were very talented musicians, some of them conservatory trained. And there's all sorts of stories about musicians who ended up caught up in the Holocaust, and they ended up in Auschwitz-Birkenau, whether they're a member of like a Vienna Philharmonic or some prodigy like Henry Meyer, the founder of the LaSalle String Quartet. So this is Auschwitz I, the main camp, and these are very talented arrangers. Some of them have backgrounds in singing popular music. And so in many ways, they've got exactly the right training. So I couldn't quite imagine what this piece would sound like, and I was equally astounded when I heard it rehearsed for the first time.
I'm speaking with University of Michigan music theory professor Patricia Hall about the manuscript she found at Auschwitz-Birkenau Museum and Archives that was the arrangement of a foxtrot played for the German commanders by a prisoner ensemble called The Most Beautiful Time of Life. Were you able to figure out who the arrangers were and what might have become of them?
Yeah, so that was one of the mysteries and something I was extremely interested in. And again, I have to say I was very fortunate in that in this manuscript, 2 of the 3 Polish political prisoners signed their prisoner number. And that in itself is significant. They don't sign their name. They sign their prisoner number. And at Auschwitz-Birkenau, of course, they have detailed records of the names associated with these numbers, when they were admitted to Auschwitz-Birkenau, when they were transferred to another camp. Or in the case of one of the arrangers, Antoni Gargul, when he was released in 1943.
We don't think of anyone getting out. That's
no,
that fascinating.
No, that was the first time I realized people were actually released. Not many, but some were released, yeah.
But we also can only imagine that the musicians who played for these Sunday concerts for their captors, many did not make it out. You were able to get this music transcribed for students to play. You performed it recently for an audience. And I think of the musicians who last performed this music, the prisoners, and the audience listening, the Nazi garrison at Auschwitz, 2 sides of this same equation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I must say this concert was tremendously uplifting for all of us. We had a more than capacity crowd for this, where we needed to usher some people into the student lounge so they could watch it. We also made the decision to simulcast the performance because I received email from lots of people in other states who had heard about this through the AP article, and they were saying, how can I listen to this performance? And it was beautifully taped.
Yes, well, it is stunning. Now, I know that you found other manuscripts. Are you planning to go through this with more manuscripts, or is it somebody else's job to do?
Right. So I keep thinking about this, and it's been very helpful going through the experience of hearing this one piece performed, working with so many incredibly talented people at U of M, and talking to people about this project. So I'm beginning to think that I will go back in May and investigate some of these other pieces.
I could see a very powerful album if there was enough to be able to do that, because you can tell that it speaks to people, and it's almost like a flower blooming in the midst of that desolation of Auschwitz.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to describe it.
Well, again, University of Michigan music theory professor Patricia Hall, who unearthed the arrangement of this foxtrot, The Most Beautiful Time of Life, performed in Auschwitz by prisoners who will live on because of the work you've done. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.